the classical beauty of non-fungible tokens. I'm David Brancaccio. First, home prices are up by the most since those rollicking times of 2005. This is the 12 months to April. Home and condo prices up 15% as measured by S&P Case-Shiller in 20 metro areas. Sales could trend lower as house hunters are priced out and others are reluctant to sell since they then have to answer the question, where can I afford to live now? Lindsay Piegza is chief economist at the investment firm Stifel Nicolaus.
What we're seeing is that housing is one of the sectors that really benefited disproportionately during the crisis and now in the aftermath. And so we're seeing this surge in demand against an already dwindling level of supply. And this is creating a very elevated support for prices that we do expect to continue for some time.
I mean, a key question is, if it keeps really going on for a long time, what you get is the kind of inflation we don't like. If it's just for this particular stretch of 2021, you know, we could call it an acute case of higher prices, not a chronic one.
That's right. And I don't think it's yet a housing bubble per se, as we saw in 07, 08. A lot of the demand is a structural shift in preferences. Many Americans are changing the way that they commute to work. They're looking for more space. They want to move outside of the cities. Maybe they're taking advantage finally of record low interest rates. So there's a number of factors that are driving this change, most of which are not COVID related.
Lindsay Piegza is the chief economist at Stifel Nicolaus. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Here's another view of the economic recovery. Last year around this time, big banks were bracing for big losses on loans and were directed to preserve capital in the face of the pandemic. Now, with less of an emergency stash needed, banks are about to send some of that cash to their shareholders. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here. Nova, it was the Federal Reserve, which is also a regulator of banks, that turned the page here?
That's right, David. Last Thursday, the Fed said nearly two dozen banks had passed its latest round of stress tests, which measure how the banks would do in case of a big economic downturn. The Fed said the banks had enough capital, and so they could reduce an extra buffer the Fed had required of banks. That meant lifting limits the Fed had imposed on how much money banks can return to shareholders. Those limits lift tomorrow. And on cue, a number of big banks announced they'll be returning more money to shareholders over the next year. Billions of dollars are going back in the forms of bigger dividend payments and stock buybacks.
Which banks are we talking about?
So some of the notable names, David, Morgan Stanley, one of them. It's doubling its dividend and buying back $12 billion worth of outstanding shares. And just that $12 billion figure is almost equal to what Morgan Stanley's profits are expected to be this year. So it's a substantial amount. Another big name, Wells Fargo, also doubling its dividend, and it's buying back $18 billion worth of stock. Other names, Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, they all made similar announcements, hiking dividends, stock buybacks. By one estimate, the total for the banking sector in terms of money returned to shareholders could be somewhere in the $200 billion range.
Nova Safo, thank you. Governors of about half the states, including some populous ones like Texas and Florida, have now cut off payments of extra unemployment insurance provided by the federal government. Even before the formal deadlines, people were leaving unemployment rolls. That's according to a new report from Jefferies Financial Group. Of those no longer drawing unemployment, or UI, are people who found work and people who remain out of work. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin reports.
Why would people give up free money? The answer depends on who you ask. Aneta Markowska, an economist with Jefferies, says for one thing, early deadlines can be motivating.
People become more serious about their job search, and if they get offers, they take them.
Markowska figures the people jumping off UI have settled into new jobs. But Yale economist Dana Scott, who co-authored a study on pandemic unemployment, says that's not always the case.
Workers know that employers are pretty desperate.
Scott says some people may have already quit a new job and are holding out without pay for something better. Jesse Rothstein, who teaches public policy and economics at UC Berkeley, says what's happening with early deadlines won't be universal.
Yeah, these states are very non-representative.
Rothstein says many of them lifted lockdowns a while ago, and their unemployment rates were already falling faster than those in the rest of the U.S. These economists say they won't know the real effect of these deadlines until the state jobs numbers come out next month. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
The NFT is a digital certificate of authenticity to distinguish an original from copies. In a digital world, it uses blockchain technology to create an accounting ledger that resists tampering. Non-fungible tokens can be used for video, art, music, all sorts of things that can be digitized. Since there's only one NFT, these can be seen as valuable, and they're a new way for artists to control and profit from their work. Today's example, an orchestra in Tennessee working with a local composer. WPLN's Paige Flager has more on this work.
The piece, called Prelude, has a cinematic quality to it. The melody evokes the start of a journey, says composer Christina Spinet.
I've entitled it Prelude because I see it as the beginning of something new.
Spinet composed Prelude to be released as a non-fungible token. It's basically a digital asset that lives online and can be purchased with cryptocurrency. The 5-minute audio file, a video recording with the Gateway Chamber Orchestra in Clarksville, and the score are available on the platform OpenSea. Spinet says there are a lot of benefits to releasing music this way.
Artists receive royalties on the secondary sale market of their work. You have complete control over what you release, when you release it, how you release it.
Prelude will be sold to 20 buyers, but if those buyers want to sell the piece to others, Spinet still gets money from the sale.
There's no label taking a percentage of the profit. It's just you. And then whatever you decide to split up with the musicians, too.
Orchestras are usually paid to play on a session, but don't get royalties from the final product. But with the NFT, musicians that played on Prelude will receive royalties from the initial sale and any secondary sales of the piece, too.
What have we got to lose?
Gateway Chamber Orchestra's director, Gregory Wolanek, says he felt he owed it to the musicians after they were hit hard by the pandemic.
If this is something that's going to be able to provide a very new model for composers and performers, and we don't try to take advantage of it, particularly at this time in the history of our planet, I think that would be a mistake.
While the value of cryptocurrency varies, Prelude has raked in thousands of dollars on the blockchain so far. In Nashville, I'm Paige Flager for Marketplace.
And Amazon has a new play for people who are buying turntables again, a music club where for $25 a month, they'll send you an album a month on vinyl. It'll be a surprise because Amazon will choose month number one, Weird Al Yankovic, month two, The Chipmunks, month three, Achy Breaky Heart. Kidding. The idea is for Amazon to send classic 60s and 70s records, which people, if they know like, can return if the albums are unopened. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.